We welcome you if you are new here. My name is Andy. I'm one of the pastors here. And we are glad that you are here at Home Church. We take sermon notes because we want you to not only listen and learn for today, but how to practice the message throughout the week. And so we are in a new sermon series called Practicing Sabbath with our time, talents, and treasures. And maybe you're here today and you're asking yourself, well, what is the Sabbath? What is this all about? Well, it goes back to Genesis chapter 2 about who God is. And we see that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 2, that the heavens and the earth were completed. In other words, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, if you are a scientific guy, logic person, we call it like a yellow data person, you need to realize that this passage of scripture is not meant to be scientific. It's meant to show the character of who God is. And science teaches us the how we got to where we are. But it doesn't necessarily teach us the why. That's why we go to Genesis. Genesis teaches us the why of creation. And our sciences help us with the how and how miraculous creation really is. By the seventh day, we see that God finished what he worked on. He put all of creation together. All the time, talents, and treasures of all time, he birthed that into being as he spoke into creation. But on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, he rested from all work of creating what he has done. So this is before sin entered the world. Before brokenness, you see the example that God rested. And that word rested really means to be finished or complete. It means that Sabbath is something that we should rest from and that we can just simply rest in God, that it is complete, it is finished. God is working on our behalf. But we see in Exodus chapter 20, when sin entered the world because of Genesis chapter 3, that we are all actually called to observe the Sabbath, meaning that we should observe that God is at work when we rest. If you are taking notes, it's not on your notes, but I encourage you to circle that word observe, because it gives us an opportunity to rest so that God can work on our behalf. The second one is to practice the Sabbath. It's not just okay to observe that God works, but to practice it. And we'll talk about that for the next 3 weeks. How to practice Sabbath rest with our time, talents, and treasures. And to remember the Sabbath, which means to remember what God has done for us. To remember what God has in store for us. So why should we practice the Sabbath? Now, I don't know about you, but I am a kind of a geek person when it comes to words. And the word of the year from the Oxford Dictionary, they come up with words every year, is a word called a rage bait. That was the word of the year in 2025. So if we can go to that slide, that would be great. So rage bait, this is the word from Oxford. And Oxford picks a word that describes our culture, that describes our world. And you might not know what rage bait means, but it means information that's coming at us, usually from online platforms, that wants you to rage. It wants to manipulate your feelings and you get angry or anxiety rises or fear rises. It could be around our geopolitical realities. It could be around religion. It could be around anything that you face, but it's a concept that digital practices want you to rage. And rage actually takes us from being centered in God. And so the Sabbath is meant to recenter us, to be quiet, to be at complete, finished, in a world full of rage. And that's why God has created the Sabbath. It's like going 100 kilometers an hour, spiritually or emotionally, in a 30 zone. We are called to take a break. For those that don't take a break, there are signs to our own anxiety and fears. One side is that you're tailgating someone to get to church as fast as you can. You're late to church, you're tailgating someone, you're honking, get out of the way to get to church. That would be maybe a sign of rage bait. Another sign of rage bait would be when we're not present in a moment or in a situation or a relationship, our mind wanders to what we need to do next, or we're preoccupied, or we're overwhelmed with things, and so we are not present. Maybe it's because you're late to a meeting. These things happen because we're always busy. We're always overwhelmed. And so God has created the Sabbath for us to find Sabbath rest. So what is Sabbath rest? Well, interesting enough, Jesus compares himself to the Sabbath. There's 8 episodes in the New Testament narrative in the Gospels that talk about Jesus doing something on the Sabbath. He's not supposed to, but he does. And out of those 8 episodes, for those that want to know, 6 of those episodes talk about healing. He healed people on the Sabbath, meaning that Jesus isn't just about the Sabbath. He's the Lord of the Sabbath, and Sabbath is meant to heal us, to restore us, to realign us from a rage-bait world, to find rest in him when rage wants to come at you. And when you're too busy or preoccupied, hear his voice afresh for your life. So this is why we practice Sabbath. We practice Sabbath for our own well-being. And we see that God has created that before sin entered the world, before brokenness entered the world in Genesis chapter 2. So we have to ask ourselves, how can you and I experience Sabbath rest in a rage-bait world? How do we actually hear from God in our world that is so busy? Well, the first thing I would share with you today is practicing Sabbath is to find rest and renewal in God. Now, let me explain what I mean by rest and renewal. Imagine with me, you are on your favorite vacation. I don't know where that is, but for us, it's on some hot beach in the sand or on some type of pool where I'm in a recliner reading some book, and I just have someone waiting on me all the time. You want another drink, Mr. Gabbert? Great, here's another drink. You want nachos? Here's nachos. Hey, you want sushi? Yeah, here's the sushi. Whatever that looks like. And you think in that moment, as you're reclining and all your needs are being met on some hot beach, you're thinking to yourself, man, this is heaven. This is where the best place it is to be, is on this beach. Maybe it's not a beach for you. Maybe it's a cabin. Maybe it's somewhere exotic. I don't know what that means for you, but resting God does not mean recreation or relaxation. It means renewal. Another thing that we get wrong in culture is we think that rest means, hey, I just need to put my feet up and watch Netflix. Or I just need to death scroll on my social media. Oh, I just need to take a break, a personal day. All those things are great, but that is not what the scripture says when it comes to rest. Rest means to be renewed, to find healing in God. This is why we have church services. This is why we listen to music and let the music heal us and restore us. That's why we sing out of faith. Sometimes I don't know all the songs, but I know the words, and I let those words bring faith and trust in my life. It's why we hear God's word, so that we can be restored and lifted up. And we experience the goodness of God when we're recentered in a rage-bait world. It is awesome to know that when we allow God, he can heal us. He can heal our emotions. He can heal our hearts and souls. He can heal relationships. He can heal marriages and families. When we invite Sabbath rest into our hearts. Again, you might think in our culture that, oh, I just need to go to Mexico for a week and everything else will reset. Or I just need to go to Whistler and that cabin and just be in the powdered snow. And you think you reset. Yes, part of it, but resetting, as we see in scripture, is renewal from God's presence. And he renews us. So how do we actually do this? Well, as we see through scripture, as well as God, he renews us with our time, our talents, and our treasures. Sabbath practice is meant to give us rest or renewal, but it's around our time, talents, and treasures. And treasures, it's not just about money, it's about relationships. It's about family and friends, including our finances. And so the best way you see this through scripture, also with Jesus, is there's a principle behind it. It's called the 10-10-80 principle. 10-10-80 principle. So I jumped up there for a bit, but time, talents, and treasures is the last one, the 10-10-10 principle. Meaning that as Sabbath rest, how you practically practice Sabbath is you give 10% of your time, talents, and treasures to God because he's given them to us for God, to bring glory to God. And he gives us 80% of our time, talents, and treasures to be blessed by God. So he gives us all these things so that we can be generous with our time, talents, and treasures. So I became a follower of Jesus when I turned 16 years of age. Any 16-year-old kid who gets their license wants what? A vehicle, a car. And I grew up on a farm. And back then, way, way back then, minimum wage was $5 an hour. Praise the Lord. And I saved up a bunch of money so I could buy a car. But when I turned 16, I learned this principle about tithing. I didn't really know about it, but it was a very simple math. If I made $500 that month, I give $50 to the Lord. It was very, very simple. Every dollar that I made, I give 10% back to Jesus. Makes sense. And I was giving it to the local church. And so I'm saving money for a car, and then I'm giving this money to the church. I'm thinking to myself, well, that money could go to a car. And I talked to, oh, someone's car is going off, whatever that is. Oh, thank you, friend. And so I'm thinking to myself, man, should I put this money to a car? And that day, my dad and I were at work, and we were going down this one road. And on the side of the road is a private sale for a car. It is a 1986 Hyundai Excel hatchback 5-speed manual. And every teenage boy wants that car. I'm like, that's my car, Dad. I want that car. It's for sale. I've been saving money. Can I buy that car? And he's like, well, maybe after work today, we'll go buy, not be buy the place, and we can look at the car and see if what they want for it. And so I'm really excited, and I'm thinking to myself, well, man, I hope I can buy this car. So we go there after work, and behold, the guy who owns the car is a friend of my dad. And so they're talking about stuff, and I'm looking at this car, and I'm just thinking about how many friends I could fit in it, and how fast it could go, and you know, the wheels look really good, the tires look great, and I'm thinking, how big of a stereo can I put in this thing? And I'm like, man, I forgot to say that, but on the for sale sign, it said a number on it, and I'm like, there's no way I can pay that. That's way too much. And so my dad and this guy is yakking it up, and he's like, hey, Andy, what's your budget for this car? And I said, oh, I can't pay for that. Maybe a third of what you have? And he's like, done. It's yours. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, what a sucker. And I'm thinking, nice, I just got a car for $800. That's what I saved. I saved $800 from flipping burgers at Dairy Queen and working with my dad. And I'm thinking, yes, awesome. And I have this car. And I put a big stereo in. The stereo's worth more than the car. And I shove as many friends as I can, legally, by the way. And I think to myself, this is amazing. Thank you so much, God, for providing for my car, which is a third of the price. Sometimes, most times, God's math, when it comes to the 10-10-80 principle, does not make sense in our own ways. In our own ways. I encourage you to do this. If you are a mature follower of Jesus, you can do this exercise. Since 16, I have been tithing for almost 30 years. That's not a humble brag, by the way. It's just something that was built in me. And I actually wrote down a figure, a number, I thought, of how much I gave. And then I wrote down on the other column on the page what God has given back to me based on the same numbers. And every time, God provided miraculously above all that I gave. I encourage you, try that exercise. See how God has provided for you. I'll get back to that soon. But God calls us to practice the Sabbath with our time, talents, and treasures. so that we can be a blessing to others, as well as God being a blessing to us. But not only are we called with 10-10-10, or 10-10-80, sorry, is practicing Sabbath is actually about Jesus. It's about relationship with God, not rituals or rules. In the Old Testament, it was a 24-hour period of time. But now that Jesus is the Lord, it's not just one day or a service, but you can experience God every day in relationship with Him. It gives us the opportunity that Jesus is with us. And like I mentioned before, 6 of the episodes that Jesus did stuff on the Sabbath was all about healing, physical healing. Maybe you're here today and you need to be healed physically. When you invite Sabbath as a person named Jesus, He heals our bodies. It's a promise. I can't guarantee that, but it's an opportunity to invite Jesus in. Maybe you need healing in your mind. You're too busy. Rage faith, gotcha. Fear, anger, and anxiety want to rise within you. Why don't you invite Sabbath rest, the Spirit of the living God through Jesus, so that you can experience Sabbath through Jesus? There is one episode I put there in Luke chapter 14, but it's the opportunity for Jesus to heal us when we invite Him when it comes to Sabbath. Maybe you need to be recentered financially, relationally, spiritually. When you invite Sabbath with 10-10-80, it gives you an opportunity for God to heal us. So how does He heal us? Well, He heals us financially from greed. From greed. When you give a little bit back to God, He heals us from the human nature to be hoarders or to keep our stuff for ourselves. He heals our time by allowing us to relinquish control, that we don't have to be always in control. Jesus, God, is ultimate control. So when we give our time back to Him, that you'll see throughout the series, it's saying, God, I trust you with my time. I trust that you're in control. And talents. He's given you talents and abilities and skill sets, passions, so that you can be successful in this world. But He doesn't give those things just for you to be successful. He calls us to do that for others around us. He heals us with our time, talents, and treasures when you allow Him to be recentered in God. And practicing the Sabbath actually points to a restoration that will never end. You see, Sabbath rests now in the Old Testament narrative with a 24 period of time. We see in our modern day times, it's a relationship with Jesus, but one day there is eternal rest where there's no pain. There's no more brokenness. It's not just heaven on earth, it's going to be heaven coming to earth. And there's a restoration that will never end. God is going to be with us. And here's the principle, if you can get anything out of today, is this, that Sabbath rest reminds us that God will take care of the rest. When you allow God and practice the Sabbath well, God shows up. So I had that Hyundai Excel 5 manual speed hatchback. Bought it for $800. Had it for 3 years. I was working at Dairy Queen flipping burgers and working with my dad. And I felt called into ministry. I thought I was going to be a lawyer, businessman. I'm called to be a pastor. And I'm about to go to Bible college as I'm graduating. And I'm thinking to myself, I need a little bit extra money. I think I should sell my car. And I'm reading that I'm about to sell my teenage first car that I loved. And I put a for sale sign on it. I don't put a price on it. And I'm in my Dairy Queen uniform, driving to work, and there's this person that's following me from basically halfway from my house to Dairy Queen. And I don't know who this person is, but he's following all the same spots, and he's right behind me. And as I'm parking into the parking lot at Dairy Queen, I'm like, who is this? Is he wanting something from me? Does he know me? And he pulls up and he's like, excuse me, I see that you're about to sell your car. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to college. I'm just going to work really quick. You know, I don't have much time, but you can take a check. You can check it out if you want. He's like, can I give it a little test run? I'm like, sure. So he gives the keys to his car to me. And he takes my keys and he does a little test run with it. And he drives in. And it was about maybe 3-4 minutes, not very long. And he drives back in, parks it. He's like, Andy, you have a really nice car. He's like, would you want $3,000 for this? And I'm thinking to myself, sucker, you have no idea what I paid for this. I paid $800. And I'm thinking, game face, Andy, game face, don't give it up. And I said, you know what, just to give you a heads up, like, you know, I've had this car for 3 years. The one window doesn't go down. The stereo that's probably worth more than the car doesn't come with the car. Like, I'm going to keep that. And I said, I don't know. Would you take it for $2,500? And I said, but I have to go to work. So he's like, well, let me think about it. I'll get all the paperwork for you. Let's wait till after your Dairy Queen flipping burgers, and then we can chat. Done. And as I'm flipping burgers, I'm like, who is this guy? Who's going to buy this cheap car that I bought for nothing, really, for $3,000? Like, man, what a sucker. And I'm thinking this as a 19-year-old about to go to Bible college. And as I leave my shift, he's waiting for me with the paperwork. And he's like, hey, your name is Andy. I'm like, yes. And I was valedictorian for my grad class. I talked about Jesus during that day. He's like, I know who you are. You're that valedictorian guy that talked about Jesus. I'm like, yeah. Who are you? I'm like, okay, yeah. He's like, I know this car is not worth $3,000, but I want to help you get this car. I'm like, sucker. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, how great is God? How great is God that he can meet our every need more than you think, if you allow him. And sometimes our needs are financial, but other times our needs are relational. In most cases, our needs are spiritual. For our own well-being. It doesn't have to be around a 1986 Hyundai Excel 5-speed manual hatchback. It could be around your own well-being. You see, when you allow God, when you invite God into Sabbath rest, it gives him the opportunity to take care of your rest. And as you see throughout this sermon series, you will find that sometimes we want to take control of our finances. Makes sense, doesn't it? We want to take control of our time. I get it. We want to take control of our talents to make the most out of it. I understand. But when you give Sabbath rest to the Lord, God's math never makes sense. Another example in my life is when Anna and I were first married, I was a new pastor. Minimum wage at Richmond Pentecostal Church. Anik was working at the airport, making double that I was making. And I remember this one day, we just didn't have enough money for rent. It was hard. And I was thinking to myself, why am I a pastor? I could have still been on my dad's farm working there. I could maybe be a lawyer or a businessman. And I have no money for rent. And I'm a youth pastor making minimum wage. I just gave my talents, my time, my finances, all to the glory of God. And I'm thinking to myself, where are you? Have you been there before? I think all of us have. In those moments, it's easy to say, practice Sabbath rest. Give 10%. It's another thing to actually do it. And so I'm thinking to myself, maybe that sucks. Maybe I was thinking to myself, oh, maybe I just need a loan from my dad or mom to pay for rent this week. Or maybe I need to answer that cell phone. Maybe it's like I need to take a loan or put this on my credit card. Like, what do I do? And Annick, with all her wisdom, says, Andy, should we pray about it? Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, we should pray about it. Let's bring it to the Lord. And in my human nature, I wanted to try to figure it out. Been there before? We all have. And it's like, let's pray. I'm like, okay. My anxiety doesn't stop. The fear and my insecurity doesn't stop. The whining in my own mind that I could have been a businessman didn't stop. But then I got an email the next day from Canada Revenue Agency. And I thought, oh my gosh, they really never have good news. Rarely do they have good news. And I open up the email, and on it says, "Dear Andy Gabbert, we have noticed that you haven't claimed your 4 years of tuition. We want to let you know that we did that for you." And at the bottom of that email was the amount that I was getting back from CRA, which was triple that I thought I was going to get. And it was basically triple the amount of what my rent was that day. And I'm like, wow, how amazing. It's about time, and this is where my mind went. It's about time CRA did something healthy for me. It's about time they said something nice to me. And I get on the phone, Addict's at work. I'm like, Addict, you will not believe. CRA just emailed me and gave me this number. And in her all her wisdom, she's like, see, I told you. Just pray. And I'm like, yeah, but CRA and all this stuff, our minds want to go there, right? Have you been there before? God provides, perhaps. And you're like, no, that was me. Happens to you. A couple weeks later, I'm in just in a quiet space with the Lord. And I hear God whisper to me. He's like, Andy, how much more do I have to do for you to trust me now? You see, the more you trust the Lord as you practice Sabbath, the more confidence you will have in Him meeting your every need. And not only will He meet your every need, He will bless you. He will supernaturally work for you. And 30 years of this, story after story after story of God providing, when I took that exercise to go back and say, okay, I've given this much amount, let's see how God is miraculously providing. Yes, I got an $800 car. Yes, I sold it for $3,000, not $2,500, because someone wanted to bless me. That's not me, that's God. It's the same with us. I can't guarantee that's going to happen to you. Please do not leave this place. And you are driving down the street and you see a 1986 Hyundai Excel hatchback. And you're like, that's what Pastor Andy did. I'm going to buy that thing and I'm going to sell it for 3 times. No, please don't do that. What I am asking, though, is for you to practice this out. And as you are taking notes, on the first page, you see 3 realities of what happens when we practice. We observe the activity of God. Exodus 20 says that the reality of the Sabbath is when we say, this is the giving of love, when we say, I trust you with my finances. I trust you even though it does not make mathematical, scientific sense. I am being faithful to you for you to show up. I'm not saying this is just tithing. God, I'm giving you my time. I'm too busy. I work too much. I'm full of anxiety. God, would you provide opportunity? Would you provide a job? Would you provide that need that I have with my time and with your talents? Lord, you have gifted each of us with certain talents and abilities to bring glory to Him. And you might be here and say, Andy, I have no talents. That is a lie. You are not created with no talent or abilities. That is not from Jesus. You might say, hey, I'm full. That's a lie. You might say, I'm too young. That's a lie. You might think, I'm not good looking enough. That's not from Jesus. As you give your talents and abilities, He multiplies it. And you will see throughout this sermon series how He does that. But the invitation remains the same. Will you practice the Sabbath? When you practice the Sabbath, He will recenter you. When you practice the Sabbath, He will give you rest for your soul. When you practice Sabbath, He will meet your every need in supernatural ways that you can't manipulate, control, or try to activate, only other than resting in Him. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. And this is an opportunity just to let Jesus speak to us. We believe that God is active, real. We believe that Jesus was raised on the third day so that we know through the power of the Holy Spirit that he speaks contextual wisdom to us in every moment. For some of us in this room, it might be in the area of finance. God is asking you to trust him. Will you? Even when it gets tough. For others, maybe it's your time. You have put your schedule so busy that you haven't even taken some time to hear from Jesus. And it's causing anxiety and just overwhelming pressure on yourself. Take some time so you can hear from Jesus and be recentered and be productive, not busy. For others, maybe it's your talent. And this, there's a spectrum around this. Maybe you're here and you're like, I just don't know what to do or give my best to God. Others, you might be like, hey, Andy, I know what I offer, and I can make a lot more or do a lot better than give it to the church. But maybe you're here today and God is whispering to you, give your passions, your abilities, God's kingdom. It doesn't have to be a pastoral set of skills. It doesn't have to be the person beside you, behind you, or in front of you. God whispered to you how to give your best to him, because he gave his best to you, through Jesus. And I shared a couple funny real-life stories about my life. And as I was praying about this, I'm like, do I share these stories? I felt like I needed to share those stories with you because I'm a real life person. Yes, I get paid as a pastor to preach, but I didn't have to share those stories. These are real life stories. And you have real life stories too. If you allow Sabbath rest to lead you, to heal you, you are not too dirty. You are not too dumb. What I mean by that is what you've done in the past. Dumb mistakes, dumb decisions. You're not too far from Sabbath rest. He invites you to Sabbath rest. This is the joy of church. We get to experience it afresh. So as we stand and worship, it gives us, just before we sing, it gives you an opportunity to create this room as a prayer room. You don't have to come to the front for this, but you can let God minister to you where you are. But maybe you do have a need, and you want us to partner with you in prayer and in ministry. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come forward to pray. So Pastor Paul and Janice, myself, will be up the front. We're here to pray with you, and there is no shame in that. There's no weirdness in that. It's just an opportunity to simply say, God, I have a need and I want you to meet it. So as we stand and as we worship and stand together, we're inviting God to speak to us fresh, to speak life and healing and wholeness in you. My encouragement, our encouragement today is that you would practice Sabbath rest to experience that you would take a step of faith with your time, talents, and treasures so that God would multiply your time, talents, and treasures. It's God's path, not ours. And Lord, I pray as we go through a time of worship that we would invite you to speak to us afresh. Renew our hearts. Renew relationships. That it wouldn't be about relaxation or recreation, but renewal that comes from your spirit. As we are real with you, you become real with us. And as Jesus has healed physically on the Sabbath, it's a figure reality that Jesus heals us continually, even to this day, through the spirit. So we invite you as we worship you in prayer and ministry.